The U.S. Supreme Court today, for the first time, considers whether deportable aliens with no country willing to take them may be held in prison indefinitely. The subject has taken on a pressing immediacy since 1996. That's when Congress changed the immigration law to mandate the deportation of legal resident aliens who have been convicted of a felony and served their time. For an estimated 4,000 to 5,000 people with no country willing to take them, the law has meant being locked away forever. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
They are called lifers, and they are the catch-22 of the American legal system. They've served their time for their crimes, but because the federal law mandates their deportation and no country is willing to take them, they sit in INS prisons or detention centers with no real hope of ever being released. The INS has instituted rules allowing for the supervised release of felons it deems not to be dangerous, but detainees are not provided with lawyers, the burden is on them to prove they are not dangerous, and no court reviews the agency's decision. Indeed, in one case, the INS only released a detainee after a press inquiry led to the discovery that the detainee had in fact never been convicted of any crime. The two cases before the court today present the dilemma in stark relief. The first involves a man named Kęstutis Zedvydas, who was born after World War II in a displaced persons camp in Germany to Lithuanian parents. The family emigrated to the United States when the boy was 8. He's lived here ever since, but never become a citizen. And in adulthood, he's led a life of rather inglorious crime, repeated convictions for robbery, one on drug possession charges, and a history of absconding while out on bail. And so when Zedvydas was released after serving 2 years on the drug charge, the INS sought and won a deportation order against him. But with neither Germany nor Lithuania willing to claim him as a citizen, Zedvydas had no country to go to, and for all practical purposes, he was a stateless person. He appealed to the federal courts for help, but was turned down and has remained under INS lock and key for most of the last 6 years. The other case involves Kim Ho Ma, a Cambodian who fled the Khmer Rouge with his family when he was 2 years old. They lived in refugee camps for 6 years until winning permission to come to the United States in 1985.
We came here under asylum and basically as war refugees.
At age 17, Kim Ho Ma was involved in a gang shooting in Seattle, charged with murder and convicted of manslaughter. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison and was released early with time off for good behavior. Upon his release, the INS sought and won a deportation order, but Cambodia, which has no repatriation agreement with the U.S., refused to take Ma back, and he remained in detention for 2.5 years. Ma twice sought review of his status, but he was unable to convince the INS that he would not pose a danger to the community. In 1999, though, a federal court ordered Ma and other similar detainees on the West Coast released. The court said that the government had failed to advance a single reason for its belief that Ma is a danger to society beyond the simple fact of his conviction, for which he'd already served his time. Thus, the court said to hold him indefinitely would be an unconstitutional deprivation of his liberty. An appeals court affirmed, but on narrower grounds, concluding that the statute enacted by Congress does not give the Attorney General the authority to keep people in custody for unreasonable periods if there is no likelihood of deportation occurring. That ruling conflicts directly with the lower court decision in the Zedvydas case. There, a different appeals court ruled that in immigration matters, the INS has absolute authority under federal law and the Constitution to do as it pleases. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments in the two cases. David Martin, who served for 3 years as general counsel for the Immigration and Naturalization Service, explains the government side of the issue.
The government's position is that the United States should have the authority to protect its people against individuals in that setting. They're only trying to detain people who, for whom there's a judgment that they would be dangerous if they were released or that they would flee and couldn't be found if arrangements could be made later to send them to another country.
But Kim Ho Ma's lawyer, Jay Stansel, will tell the High Court that locking people up for life without a trial or a charged offense is what dictatorships do.
I mean, I think the safest thing to do, if we wanted to live in a purely safe society, is to lock everybody up, whoever commits a crime, for their life, for their lifetime. And we simply don't do that. We've made the judgment as a nation politically that we don't do that. And constitutionally, we made the judgment that we don't allow the unbridled discretion of the executive to do that without a judge and jury and a trial.
Stancil notes that during the Cold War and the Korean War, the INS could not detain a non-deportable alien for more than 6 months, and he contends people who were much more dangerous to the country were released into the general population.
That pool of individuals who were ordered deported, arguably for trying to overthrow the country, were you know, certainly should be perceived as much more dangerous than individuals like Kim Ho-ma and Mr. Zedvitas, who've gone through a state criminal justice system and where the state has said, you're ready to go back to your home.
Stancil notes that the INS can and has imposed strict supervisory restrictions on deportees who are released, and that, argues the lawyer, is enough to protect the public.
I think, generally speaking, this is the best group and most dependable group of ex-inmates that you could possibly get.
Of the 280 inmates he's been appointed to represent, says Stancil, fewer than a handful have stumbled after their release, and none seriously. Kim Ho-ma, now 23, has a job on the assembly line of a plant making airplane parts. He lives with his parents, his father is disabled, his mother speaks no English, and he and his brother support the family.
I can work, I pay the taxes, I just want to live the American life.
And what about the life he took when he was 17?
I think, looking back, I regret a lot. I wish stuff that happened never happened, but it did. I served my sentence, and there's not a day to go by that I don't really think about this case, and for the family in the case that lost their son, so both ways, both lost for each family and stuff.
The INS declined to provide a spokesman to present its views for this broadcast. Rather, it suggested we interview the agency's former general counsel, Mr. Martin. But even Martin, now a professor at the University of Virginia Law School, does not agree with the government's position entirely. He notes, however, it is the obligation of the Justice Department to defend acts of Congress wherever possible. However the Supreme Court rules in these cases, says Martin, the INS will adapt. And he concedes that the real reason the INS has acted so aggressively to keep non-deportable aliens in detention is the fear of the blame game.
They're concerned they may get blamed if the person then commits another violent act.
Despite that fear, Martin admits, many in the INS have doubts about the policy.
I think it would be a sad commentary if people didn't have some doubts about any policy that result in indefinite detention. And I wouldn't be surprised to find some district directors silently rooting for the government to lose in this case.
The Supreme Court in recent years, however, has been very deferential to Congress and the executive branch in their attempts to deal with immigration problems. No one can deny there's a risk to letting convicted felons loose when no country can be found to take them. The question is, what kind of a risk does our Constitution tolerate, and what, if any, checks on the INS does the Constitution require? Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.